This is an interview for the Shoe Workers Oral History Project at the Museum LA. The date is June 15th, 2010, and I'm at the home of Dave Rancourt in Sabattis, Maine. This is Andrea Lumdier. Dave, could you start just by giving me your full name?
My name is David R. Rancourt.
And where and when were you born?
I was born in Canada.
What part of Canada?
I was born in Sherbrooke, Canada. Martinville, Canada, about 15 miles from Sherbrooke.
And how many years did you live?
I've been all my life. My folks brought me over when I was only 18 months old.
Oh, so you were a baby.
So I was a baby.
And your parents are both from Canada.
Yes, absolutely.
What were their names?
I was Henry and Clara Rancourt.
And do you know why they chose to come to the United States?
In those days, Canada was very poor, didn't have any jobs, so my dad brought us to Rumford, Maine.
Oh, Rumford, yes. And how many brothers and sisters were there?
I had five sisters and four brothers.
So there were 10 of you?
One passed away, there were nine.
Right. Yeah.
Big family.
Yeah. And so what kind of work did your parents find in Rumford?
My dad was a lumberjack. So I learned to work with myself for a few years after school.
Yeah, so when did you start in the shoe shop? Was that in 1965 or earlier?
Earlier. I was a hand sewer for about 8 years, so I learned that earlier.
What age were you? Do you remember?
I was 25.
Mm-hmm.
I became a hand sewer. And I worked for Belmark in Lawson, Auburn, in Lawson. Then I went to work for Bostonian out of Freeport.
Okay.
And Bostonian had to make a higher quality shoe to pay more.
Right.
And from Bostonian, and I started. A few years after, I became Oscar Marchand, called me over and started a hand sewing factory. So I went with Oscar Marchand.
Okay. And you had written some things down that you wanted me to read, and it begins around 1965.
Yeah.
And I'll read it as it is. My name is David Rancourt, 35 years old. I was a hand sewer at Bostonian Shoe in Freeport, Maine. What is his first name?
Oscar Marchand.
Oscar Marchand had a company that did hand whip shoes
for a factory.
And can you talk a little bit about what the difference is between the hand whip and
the hand whip? You take one tread and you just go around the hole to put your shoe together. You don't need a last all. A hand sewing shoe is you put the leather on the shoe, tack it all around, and you take an awl and needle with, and then you hand sew it with both hands.
He asked me to start a hand sewing product,
a line
to add to what he did. We had a contract from Cost Shoe and Dexter Shoe. We started with a few hand sewers part-time. In those years, we had 40 to 50 hand sewers employed.
Yeah.
That is a lot.
Yeah, with a contract.
Not long after that, Mr. Marchand died. I purchased the hand sewing line from Mr. Marchand. I called my company...
Dave Newmark.
I kept on with the contracts with Koss and Dexter Shoe. I added a new line of hand-sewn moccasins, which I sold to Quaddy Moccasins in Portland, 3 years after I started Dave's Newmark. Then Quaddy sold the company to R.J. Barry.
R.J. Barry, Columbus, Ohio.
Of Columbus, Ohio. They hired me to be in charge of the manufacturing only. I convinced R.J. Barry to move the company to Auburn, right? When
they had some high skill. They had skilled labor in the Auburn area, lost in the Auburn area.
Okay. They rented the Lounge Shoe building?
Yeah.
Within 3 years, we had manufacturing
wholesale
and retail in the building. We had 65 to 70 employees in manufacturing. After 12 years, I decided to start my own business in the old Pepper Peppermill.
Peppermill.
Yeah. It was called Downey's Footwear.
Casual footwear.
After 6 months, I bought my son, I brought my son, Michael Rancourt.
For sale.
Purchase and selling. Okay. In no time, he learned the shoe business. At the time, we had 60 to 70 employees. After 7 years, we sold the company to Cole Honnett of Freeport, Maine. We made expensive hand-sewn shoes for them in our factory. I worked for them 3 years. It was time for me to retire. I helped my son start his own factory called Maine Shoe.
That's about it?
Yeah. Well, that's a lot of hands. Can you talk to me about hand sewing?
Yeah.
Sort of describe for me what, I mean, it's a skill.
Yeah, it's a skill.
And
yeah.
And some people can do it and some people can't. Can you talk to me
about that? Some people, it's too hard for them to do it, though. We have to bring the letter on the form. They call it a last, you know, and we tack it all the way around. And then we punch a hole one and all. And then we put a needle on each side of the thread. So we put in the hole and we pull it. We hand sew by hand. All right. The one that you want.
So did you take to it pretty easy?
It was hard.
Yeah.
Very, very hard work. I worked in the wood before, and I would tell me that was just a hard work in the wood. Well, we were in piece work all the time, so the more hand sew, the more shoes you make during the day, the more you get.
Right.
So it was very, very hard work. I did it for about 8 years.
And did you train people as well?
Oh, yeah, I did. I trained many people.
Yeah.
I used to go to a shoe show and demonstrate the art of hand sewing.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, that's a skill that we're going to lose.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's still going on a little bit. My son is doing it right now. The name is Rancourt Inc.
Mm-hmm.
Marks and stuff.
Right, one of the few businesses
few.
Left.
And it's only higher price shoe you can make it with. The shoe retail from $200 to $500
a pair. Right. So, I mean, the hand sewers were an interesting group of workers.
Well, I had to get along with. Of course, I was a hand sewer myself, so I knew how to deal with them.
Yeah.
Well, at one time, I used to pay him on Friday noon, and only half of them came back in the afternoon to work. They used to go have a few glasses of beer, and then they would come back. So I changed my hour. Then I worked 4.5 days a week. Well, I added an hour each day. So it was close to 48 hours. But at noontime, we used to pay them off. And I said, goodbye, have a good weekend.
Because you knew they wouldn't be back.
They wouldn't be back. Plus, a lady liked that also. You know, the lady who did stitching, you know, and cutting all kinds of stuff. The lady liked that. So they had a long weekend. And a few factories had the same line of work I did, the same hours.
Right. So that worked well.
That worked well.
Did you, was there a time when it was hard to find hand sewers, to have enough of them?
Yes, it was. One time for Down East, we're working for Cohan. We started another factory in, East Corman. There was some hand sewer up there. We had a small factory up there. We added more, so we couldn't have enough hand sewer around here.
Mm-hmm.
And then the hand sewer slacked off a little bit, and then I mean, the business slack off, then we had enough hands on.
So up and down.
It was up and down.
Well, like what year was it when you saw the shoe shops really starting to decline?
What month later year when I was about 83 to 90, it slacked off quite a bit.
Right, and some of the shops started closing.
Yeah, some of the shops started closing. But it happened before that when I was contracting with my shop, it started going down.
Okay.
And then that's where I started my factory. A few years later, it said, Dave, you're kind of crazy to start a factory. And then a few years later, it picked right up.
Yeah.
I borrowed some money. I was paying 17% interest when I started Down East. That's right, and I was making 10% on the shoe. People just say, you know, you're kind of crazy to start off a factory. But I made it.
Yeah.
I made a few dollars.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know the name Mr. Marchand. Can you talk about him a little bit? Who was he?
Oscar Marchand had a cobbler shop on Lincoln Street. And he knew a few people in the shoe factory, so he started contract hand whipping. They used to give him the leather to take the shoe home, and people used to go up his cobbler shop, and they used to get the whip of him. They used to take it home and do it at home, hand whip it home.
And
That
then
money.
they bring it back
And then
and
they bring it
get
back,
paid.
and then they bring it back. The shoe factory take it back, and they slip a lash into it, and they shape the shoe up.
Okay, so shape them
Yeah,
after.
she had after that it was sold. I forgot to mention my wife, and my wife helped me a lot. Though she worked in the office, in the marketing,
Okay, so
for
she,
many years.
yeah. And so Dave's Newmark, did you sell that or did it stay Dave's Newmark until you retired?
I sold it to R.G. Barrie.
Oh, that's right. You
Yeah.
sold it and
I became
then you
part of
worked for them.
yeah, I became part of Quarty and R.G. Barrie.
Right, okay. And was it a totally different type of shoe that you were making with Quatty?
No, it was basically we added a lot online. We added loafers, finished loafers, and moccasins. There were number online we added. But we had quite a few people employed there. But that factory, Allowance Shoe, they must have had over 100 people employed there. It's a good thing I brought them more here. Well, all of them must have been happy with me.
And so you became a supervisor
Yeah.
and then
And then the owner of the shoe factory.
right. What were some of the challenges that you faced in those positions?
The most challenges I faced were facing workman's comp.
Oh, for some of the
If
employees?
unemployed. Some people, of course, I hate to say that, but they complained that their hand hurt, the lady that, and they went home. They were doing all kind of work at home, but they couldn't work. So working comp in those days was very easy to get. That was my biggest problem. That's why I sold out.
Is that what?
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's why I sold to Cohen. Couldn't afford to pay all the premium on working comp. But
Those.
now it's not quite as bad as it used to be. You
It's
know,
better now?
it's better now.
They have better.
The system, but they cut down. McKernan was governor at that time, and he changed the system a little bit and helped.
Can you talk about how Lewiston and Auburn have changed over the years? Can you give me a picture of what it was like when you were first here and how it's different now? I mean, Lisbon Street was really, that area was very busy and
Busy, oh yeah.
vibrant.
Lisbon Street was very busy. It changed quite a bit in that. But let's see. For me, it didn't change. I spent 6 months in Florida now, for the past 13, 14 years, 6 months in Maine. And then as you get older, you're not with the same crowd, so is how I meant to say.
Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you think is important to add something about the shoe industry or the business atmosphere in the area?
The only one that's going to survive in the hand-sewing business is the one that make high-priced shoes. High-priced loafer or high-priced moccasin. And my son, he was working for Allen Edmonds, and Allen Edmonds decided to stop manufacturing for other companies, so my son started over again. And the shoe retail for $200 a pair, more. But low-priced shoe won't survive because too many shoes coming in from China, everywhere. Low price shoe. High price will survive on the small market. But very many high price shoes will survive. I also buy my son's stone business.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.